Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hey, it is Ryan Seacrest. There's something so thrilling about playing Chumba Casino. Maybe it's the simple reminder that with a little luck, anything is possible. ChumbaCasino.com has hundreds of social casino-style games to choose from with new game releases each week. Play for free anytime, anywhere for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com. Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
It turns out that leaving my game just idle and unsaved for several days didn't work out, and I went back to my last save. Presumably because the GM did something behind the scenes which meant the active stuff was lost, and he just reverted to the saves. That happens. Not that often, but it does happen. So you should save eventually. I mean, usually you can rely on the game just being where you left it, but you can't have that as your long-term plan. You have to save eventually. So anyway, we're back to the hill. So once again, I shall be going to random.org to choose which way to go. Do I go northwest or northeast? Random.org, tell me what to do. One or two? Two. We're going northeast. All right, going through the storm. Same check as it was before. Bonus of 60. 20 from body, 20 from spirit, 20 from woodmanship. Got to get 100 or more. Or get frozen and also lose all my never reserve. Pick now. 150 success. As you continue towards a distant flickering light, something looms out of the swirling snow ahead. Alright, it's the orb. It's the womb of the orb. Do I destroy it or not? Tell us to destroy it or keep and protect it. Well, random again. Number one, destroy the orb. Young woman nods and responds to your directive and turns her gaze to the silver orb. Yes, of course, I now know everything, she says. Whenever one is faced with doubt, it must be crushed, utterly destroyed. There's no other way to ensure that mayhem will be tethered. Hope this doesn't become... Anyway, I think we've read this before. A ghastly shriek. It's the card. It's that little bright red cardinal. Do I attack it or not? Random.org, tell me what to do. Number one, attack the cardinal. This is different this time. Your sudden attack startles the cardinal, widely fluttering his wings. The cardinal takes to the air as it attempts to evade your blow. It's just as far as I know, it's just a tiny little bird. Although maybe, for a change, the whispered madness is making me, rather than having me think of something just regular as some regular or non-existent as some hideous monster, I'm thinking something that's a hideous monster is something regular and harmless. Well, because that's what Woundskin says, but Woundskin, you really can't trust that guy. You can't trust him at all. He's caused so many problems for so many people. And he's never really set himself up as someone honest. And also, he's definitely trying specifically to manipulate me, so honestly, with Woundskin says something that has literally no truth value at all, either way. Because it's Woundskin. Anyway. We're fighting the cardinal. Maybe that was a bad idea. Maybe that was a good idea. We'll never know. And unsurprisingly, it's very, very weak because it's a little tiny small bird, even smaller than Sir Croakington. And it is slain. One XP to general. A well-placed blow sends the cardinal spiralling incredibly quickly into a nearby mound of snow. Eager to make certain the bird is dead, you move over to examine the blood-spattered snow to which the cardinal sank. Before you can locate the bird's remains, an ominous snarl from somewhere to your right serves to command your full attention. You slowly turn your attention to the unsettling sound, only to have your eyes meet an unwelcome sight. The imposing fur-clad figure of Woundskin stands just a few yards from you, his blazing eyes flickering like candles beneath the shadowy folds of a large drooping hood. The immortal ogre grunts and draws back his broad shoulders, seemingly trying to achieve some level of comfort in an attire that seems entirely foreign to him. His deep, resonating voice calls out from between his cracked lips like thunder. "Strange that you should choose to kill the bird," he says. "But even I cannot anticipate all things. That is, not all things of your bent. You remain an intriguing puzzle, which bodes well for you and for those whose lives you choose to value. You are a wonderful mystery." Woundskin grimaces as he shifts his immense bulk. Well, Woundskin, whether he's actually there or not, no idea. "You best continue towards that light," he says. "This place is, after all, just another bleak spot in a world for which such misery is shamefully all too common. Is it not? Woundskin steps towards you and holds out his clenched white hand. The ogre slowly unfurls his thick fingers to reveal the tangled, mangled carcass of the dead cardinal. That's bird cardinal, not the Catholic high-up cardinals, because one of those wouldn't fit in his hand.
"Shall we revive it?"
he asks, his rumbling voice sending tremors through your body.
"It may be a mistake to do so, but that is nothing more than conjecture. How could it be anything else? The possibilities of infinity remain spread out before us. I can contemplate them, all of them, but the convergence with the realities we have yet to forge are impossible to anticipate. A tolerable jest, I think."
Woundskin looks down at the cardinal's remains and snorts.
"What shall we do?"
he asks, a hint of sadness edging into the guttural tone of his voice. Sorry, I didn't put the hint of sadness in. It's very hard to be both sad and super deep, because I'm not a professional voiceologist. A professional voiceologist could do it, no doubt, but not me. So, revive the bird or leave the bird dead? Well, last time we played through, the bird was alive at the end. We spared it and continue to spare it. But this time we've killed it and we're gonna keep it dead. Tell him to leave the bird dead. Yeah. The instant you tell Woundskin to leave the cardinal dead, the bird's remains disintegrate into a small pile of grey dust in the ogre's massive hand. Woundskin scatters the dust on his snowy feet, where it adopts the dark hue of old blood.
"Might you have requested his revival if you had known that creature to be a woman whose destiny it was to bring to ruin a grand malevolence that has yet to reveal itself to the waking world?"
he asks, his blazing eyes fixing you with a calculating stare.
"Yes, a woman who may seek your favour, speaking of alliances, grand prophecies, and undoing of alliances, grand virtues, and the undoing of forgotten prophecies. I dare say you might have. What is done is now in the past, however recent that my past may be. Let us only look to what lies ahead.
Okay, so previously, if I save the bird, it was this world-destroying uber-dragon demon. And if I leave the bird dead, it's woman who might save the world. You know what, Woundskin? I really suspect you're just fucking with me. You absolute fucker who fucks with people. I don't know how your podcast platform feels about swears, but oh well. We're deep enough in, no one will notice anyway. In a blink of an eye, Woundskin's imposing form transforms into a figure entirely made of snow. With the next blast of frigid air, the immortal ogre's frozen likeness is scattered on the wind. As the deadly cold continues to sap your strength, you turn your attention to the distant flickering glow and set off again through the storm. Alright, passing the blizzard, failure, and there goes all my Neville reserve. And also, far less importantly, 36 damage. I mean, that's just really annoying that you can lose all of your Neville reserve for failing one check, which you have a 2/5 chance of failing, and there are several of them. It's annoying. But of course, Swift is text-based, so you can, if you're not concerned with actually weeding the stuff, you can quickly quit without saving and just click through all the stuff you need to and get back to where you were without losing your levels up. But still, annoying. But I guess that's just part of the design of these adventures, that occasionally you can be put yourself in a very difficult situation indeed for no fault of your own because you just failed a check. One of the many checks they keep putting at you. With grim determination continues towards the distant flickering light. Suddenly something zooms out the swirling snow ahead. Okay, so it's the man with the bag. Do I take it from him or not? Well, last time I took it from him, so this time I'm not. You make no move to take the bag from the old man. Scowling, he begins to snarl, his entire body trembling as he fixes you with an icy glare. A silent one begins building in the back of your mind. Picking a number, it's the go mad check. 60. So 20 aura, 20 mind, 20 spirit, 100 or more, or lose even more of my mind. I've already failed two of those checks, maybe more, pick now. 159, success. Your mind's current lucidity has been preserved. You managed to quell the silent war about time, supplanting its burgeoning presence with the tranquil voice of reason. And terrifying transformation comes over the old man as he suddenly straightens up, casting off the burdensome sack. In a matter of moments, the frail bent figure is morphed into an imposing warrior clad in black scale armour, his face concealed behind the visor and ornate iron helm.
Recognise me?
Issues a deep, muffled voice from behind the visor.
I very much doubt you do. Perhaps I'll reveal myself as you lie dying!
With a savage cry, the armoured figure draws a heavy axe and lunges at you. His weapon's notched blade cutting a deadly arc that comes within inches of your head. It's a black armoured warrior. Let us begin combat. The armoured warrior swipes at you with his axe, and I swing with my club, as you do. Keep going. It's a 3+, so it's easy peasy. Ooh, but other than this devastating blow for 24 damage, which really sucks when I have no way of healing. Well, other than the quick stone and the Krepek elixirs, and maybe any individual healing points that will come up later. but I don't have my main source of healing. Oh, there's also the Hail Blade, if I had that with me. But I don't think I do. And slain. 10 XP. The armoured warrior slumps to the snowy ground, his axe slipping from his grasp as he draws a series of final ragged breaths. Suddenly, he casts off his helmet and turns his head towards you, revealing his face to be that of the old man. Maintaining a defensive posture, you watch as the foe's body begins to rapidly fade from view. Yeah, this place, this whole place is just messing with me. Stop messing with me! Before vanishing completely, the old man fixes you with a cool glare and nods 3 times. An intense blast of wind lashes your face as the storm around you intensifies. With your bewilderment growing, and with no other recourse, you once again resume your trek towards the distant flickering light. Okay, it looks like the events that you get are fixed when you pick whether to go northeast or northwest, which at least narrows down what you have, or the amount of times you have to replay this somewhat. We play this to see everything. And obviously you don't have to see everything, but you'll want to. You press on through the storm, doing your best to conceal any exposed flesh from the blizzard's deadly fury. It's the same check as before. I've already lost my Nether Reserve, so I don't particularly care. Pick now. 139 success. As you continue towards the distant flickering light, something looms out the swirling snow ahead. Okay, now this is the grey-bearded man. This is the man on top of the hill. I already read through all the stuff that happens here in the previous episode, so I'll just click through it. Talks about Mordriff. Is he safe? Does he matter? Does he exist? Yeah. You are careless, compassionate, cool. Careless, considerate, cool and compassionate in every breath. But let us discover the shore to which you will ultimately steer. The image of a jagged tor, crowned with a wing of dead trees, surges to the thaw of your thoughts as a silent war builds in the back of your mind. Fight it! Snarls the grey-bearded man. There is no way to escape it, but you must not become its prey! And it's the going man check. Pick now. 148 success. Your mind's current lucidity has been preserved. Hopelessly clutching at your temples, you close your eyes tightly and groan in agony as the silent war begins to ebb, its maddening resonance slowly fading into nothingness out of which it erupted. There's a strength in you that few others have ever known, he says. The bearded man, his tone suddenly deferential. The hell is not something most can see without losing their hold on reality. You are either to undo the impending calamity or hasten the realization of its wicked purpose. We are all wondering which it will be. Suddenly, the grey-bearded man suddenly gasps and staggers back several steps. He fixes you with a panic-laced stare before collapsing face first onto the snowy ground. A massive figure of shadow rises out the heaped remains. A black, hulking, featureless silhouette, both familiar and terrifying.
The promises you keep are infinitely more dangerous than those you discard, rumbles the voice of Woundskin. You know such peril, for you have ceaselessly walked it. Now, let us begin a telling episode. A trial awash with profanity and circumstance, both real and imagined.
Woundskin slowly takes form out of the silhouette. We read all this in the previous episode, so.
You have angered, surprised, and delighted me since then. You have yet to truly disappoint you.
Struggling to speak, your mind rapidly pouring over a candle of tangle of disconnected thoughts, you manage to ask the great ogre about the trial he mentioned.
"The trial begins now,"
he snarls, drawing back his lips to reveal a mouthful of jagged, blood-stained fangs.
"Make your choices with the utmost care, for numerous and divergent will be the paths before you."
Suddenly, your surroundings begin to blur. Well, your surroundings come back into focus just in time for you to witness Woundskin fading from view. The immortal ogre snorts derisively as the last traces of the fearsome bulk vanish into thin air. Almost immediately, your head begins to swim as the scene around you rapidly changes into a time, place and circumstance that confronts you with a thorny dilemma. Okay. We're now back where we left off at the previous episode with the Trial of Choices, 1 of 30. Okay, as I mentioned before, for the first one through, I'm just going to take the first option, whatever it is, and then I'll take the second option, and then I'll take the third option, and then on the fourth one through, which will probably be the fourth episode of this, I will finally take the options I actually want to take. Or go to random.org. I'll decide closer to the time. Winter's Wrath. A fierce winter swarm rages across the vast swath of the North Broadlands. Struggling to make your way through the howling blizzard as night sets in, you stumble upon a group of desperate travellers huddled in a small hollow that does little to shelter them from the storm's vicious bite. Nearby, the imposing tower of a powerful sorceress rises up at the edge of the forest, a lonely vestige of the civilised world this remote corner of the frozen wilds. The travellers tell you the wizard believes them to be thieves and refused to allow them into his tower, despite the perilous weather. The prospect of having to spend the night in the storm-ravaged wilds is not a comforting one. So there are three options, because there's always three options here. Seek refuge for yourself in the tower. Brave the storm in the traveller's camp, or seek refuge for yourself and the travellers in the tower. Honestly, that's probably the best option, but we'll see what happens when we do all of them. Seek refuge for yourself in the tower. Your decision is made. Your quest for shelter is delivered to the sorcerer, who immediately has your guards escort you into the tower, where you receive a warm meal and a bed for the night. Travellers camped outside do not survive the storm. Your thoughts suddenly twist into an incoherent web of grim, foreboding images. Now, if I was really there, I could have just, you know, summoned a friendly fire elemental to keep them cozy through the night. I mean, that's what the thought. I don't know how long a fire elemental would last in a blizzard, but definitely helps somewhat. Your thoughts suddenly twist into an incoherent web of grim, foreboding images. Your head swims as your surroundings suddenly come back into focus. The scene around you swiftly changes into time, place and circumstance that confronts you with another thorny dilemma. 2 of 30, The Merchant's Gold. A remote stretch of road near a destitute village in a remote corner of the kingdom. You happen upon a chest of gold that's only recently toppled from the back of a passing merchant's wagon. The merchant whose chest it is an honest, kind-hearted peddler, who often parts with his wares at a loss for the benefit of those who cannot afford them. But how do you get a full chest of gold then? You could easily catch up with the merchant's wagon, no more than a mile down the road, and return to him the gold that is rightly his. However, you also realise the gold would help tend to the vital needs of the desperately impoverished inhabitants of the village. So, three options. Keep the gold for myself, return the gold to the merchant, or gift the gold to the destitute village. Well, as I said before, I'm always picking the first option this time, so keep the gold for myself. Decision is made. You keep the gold for yourself. The merchant whose chest it was is later confronted by several people to whom he owes a substantial sum and, unable to repay them, meets an untimely and gruesome demise. Your thoughts suddenly twist into an incoherent web of grim, foreboding images. Your head swims as your surroundings slowly come back into focus. The scene around you swiftly changes into a time, place and circumstance, confronts you with yet another thorny dilemma. Dream evil. Over the course of several weeks, you begin to experience strange, unsettling dreams that gradually take on a more sinister turn. Yeah, that definitely makes sense to Sir Croakington now. The dreams ultimately spiral into nightmarish visions that involve you inflicting great harm upon yourself and others, with no apparent rhyme or reason to the gruesome violence. At first, you have little recollection of your dreams. However, the grim images that make up your unwelcome nighttime imaginings begin to haunt your every waking moment. So, confide in another about your dark imaginings, ignore the gruesome images in your dreams, or seek to uncover the causes of your nightmares. Well, number one again, confide in another. Your decision is made. You attempt to deal with the nightmares by confiding in a close associate seems to work. Gradually, with the help and support of your friend, the dark visions invading your thoughts and dreams seem to lessen in their severity before disappearing altogether. A year after your last nightmare, the associate in whom you confided returns to you in a desperate state, seeking to relate to you the dark thoughts that now haunt her every waking moment. Oh, then they'll go on to me! Okay, it's like one person is going to be having these crazy dreams or nightmares or another, apparently. Or maybe. I mean, it's just two sections. It can't really explain the entirety of how this works. Your thoughts suddenly twist into an incoherent web of grim, foreboding images. Your head swims as your surroundings slowly come back into focus. The scene around you swiftly changes into a time, place and circumstance that confronts you with yet another thorny trilemma, because dilemma wouldn't count, because die implies two. A bully's fate. Bafkabar, a notorious cad, an unrepentant bully, those long-standing campaign of terror has afflicted profound harm on the village of Dovledge, has recently escalated his unprovoked and violent harassment of its exasperated citizenry. The tormentors' latest outrages include publicly humiliating an elderly man who accidentally stumbled into him and breaking the arm of the village smithy after first making lewd, derisive comments about his wife. You learn of Bofregar's tactics while passing through Dovledge. On your way to the eastern region of the kingdom, and immediately tempted to take the matter of the bully into your own extremely capable and extremely small hands. So I could teach the bully a lesson using his own brutal tactics, urge the populace to wise up against their tormentor, or diplomatically convince the bully to mend his ways. As I said before, I'm taking the first option. Teach the bully a lesson using his own brutal tactics. Your decision is made. It would be dishonest to say you took no pleasure in turning Beauregard's brutish tactics against him. After gathering most of Dovalege's citizenry to the village common, you succeed in goading the unrepentant bully into a physical confrontation that ends with him begging not only for your forgiveness, but that of his fellow villagers, and presumably receiving a lot of bruises in the process. Beauregard wants the terror of Dovalege, never again inflicts himself upon another living soul. Your thoughts suddenly twist into an incoherent web of grim, foreboding images. It looks like picking the first option always leads to that result. But maybe it's just a coincidence, we'll see. Your head swims as surroundings slowly come back into focus. The scene around you swiftly changes into time, place and circumstance, confronts you with yet another thorny dilemma. A vile tome. In a hidden chamber in the bowels of a ruined fortress, during a quest to recover an enchanted gauntlet, you unearth a massive, leather-bound tome. The heavy book is filled with descriptions of strange, ancient and malevolent magic. You immediately deem its contents to be desperate, to be dangerous, possibly in ways unfathomable. Your desire to hand over the book to those who might prove capable of safely learning its secrets is tempered by the thought of its foul magic being inadvertently unleashed upon the unsuspecting world. So, three options. Destroy it. Probably the safest option. Unless, of course, there's some sort of enchantments on the tome that mean if you destroy it, something escapes. Which, honestly, if I was making an evil tome, I'd probably do that. So, quite likely. Present the tome to mages capable of studying its contents. Well, now the thing is, to know this, I'll have to see how often in this world do people get driven mad by evil books. I mean, if it's a regular thing, wait, I'm not discussing it. Or leave the tome where you found it. Once again, number one, destroy the tome. Decision is made. Believing the ancient magic detailed in the leather-bound tome is too dangerous to be revealed. You promptly destroy the book, making certain the dark knowledge it contains is forever lost. Every thought is bent on things that haven't yet been and may never come to pass. Okay, you don't always get the same result for the same, well, whatever this, the second paragraph. With the last paragraph, the same intrusive thoughts for picking the first option. Alright, is that the best thing? We'll see. Your head swims as your surroundings slowly come back into focus. The screen around you swiftly changes into a time, place and circumstance that confronts you with yet another thorny dilemma. Innocent delusions. While passing through a small settlement, you encounter a young lad proudly boasting to his friends and anyone else who will listen about the heroic exploits of his father, who's part of a regiment of soldiers fending off goblin incursions on the kingdom's eastern border. As chance would have it, you've just returned from the border and are familiar with the boy's father, a hopeless drunk who's just been cast out of the regiment for cowardice and dereliction of duty. So, three options. Privately tell the boy about his father, say nothing, or publicly tell the boy the truth about his father. Well, privately it is, because that's the first option. Decision is made. You take the boy aside and privately explain to him what you've learned about his father. He refuses to believe anything you have to say. Months later, having completely abandoned the drink and served honourably in his regiment, his father returns home, wounded, decorated, and deserving of the hero's welcome he receives. All right, turns out okay. Your thoughts subtly turn to the faces and voices, lost in the dim haze of the distant past. Honestly, I think there's three ways that can go, but the final power, the intrusive thought bits, but not quite sure what leads to what. Because it's all a bit weird. Because it's whispered madness. Your head swims as your surroundings slowly come back into focus. The scene around you swiftly changes to a time, place and circumstance, confronts you with yet another thorny trilemma. A lone survivor, hired as a guard for a wagon of prisoners, being transported to Talonus to face justice for their crimes. Your skills are tested when you come to attack by a band of roughnecks loyal to your captives. A fierce battle ensues, during which the driver, the other four wagon guards, and all but one of the prisoners are killed. The lone surviving prisoner who, much to your astonishment, fought valiantly aside against the man who attacked the wagon, pleads with you to go free, let him go free. Despite his valour during the skirmish, you know the man to be a murderous thief who likely faces the hangman's noose upon arrival in the capital. So I can kill the doomed prisoner here and now, deliver the prisoner to face justice in Talonus, or allow the prisoner to go free. Well, first option is kill the prisoner, so that's what's happening. The decision is made. With no desire to escort the prisoner to Talonus, or to see him go free, you defiantly and brutally take matters into your own hands. And I jump and I make him lick me, and that kills him. The life of a father of three, whose circumstances spiraled out of his control. Those greatest misdeed will one day inadvertently save an entire city, ends in a pool of his own blood on the road to the capital. Your thoughts suddenly twist into an incoherent web of grim, foreboding images. I mean, that does seem to happen more when you take the less heroic choices, but it's weird. Your head swims as your surroundings suddenly come back into focus. The scene around you swiftly changes into a time, place and circumstance to confront you with yet another thorny trilemma. Adoring eyes. You watch as the grey-clad archer slowly lowers his drawn bow, drawing the tip of his arrow at a distant target. A hush falls over the gathered onlookers. The archer, about to take his third shot in a tournament attended by many of the realm's best bowmen, for which the grand prize is a magical amulet, closes one eye and softly exhales. Once again, you catch a glimpse of the faint silver light flickering on the tips of the archer's fingers. It's the same strange light you spotted just before the man loosed two previous perfectly placed shots. The grey-clad archer is using some sort of magic to guide his arrows. The two man's young children, standing at the thaw of a sizable crowd of spectators, stare adoringly at their father as he prepares to fire. So I could reveal the cheating archer, say nothing, or endeavour to undermine the cheating archer. Reveal the cheating archer. Your decision is made. You expose the archer as a cheater and watch as the contest officials escort both he and the sobbing children from the tournament field. Days later, as you stroll past the empty contest grounds, an arrow screams out of the dusty surroundings, missing you by mere inches. You never catch a glimpse of who it was that launched the arrow, but your suspicions will be forever firmly rest on one person. Your thoughts suddenly twist into an incoherent web of grim, foreboding images. Your head swims as your surroundings slowly come back into focus. The scene around you changes into a time, place and circumstance, confronts you with another thorny trilemma. That sinking feeling. This is the ninth one. Desperate cries for help lead you along a meandering path through a tangled bog and up to the edge of a weedy, muck-filled morass. Sinking into the pool of mud, only his upper torso still visible, is a middle-aged man with a long red scar on the right side of his face. You immediately recognise him to be the murderous brigand. Those most recent crimes include the wanton slaying of travellers he robbed along the roads throughout the region. The wanted man, perceptible fear in his eyes and a desperate edge to his voice, calls out for you to help him escape the deadly grip of the swamp as it steadily drags him under. So I could save him from the deadly...
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. And now I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free and each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Predicament and capture him, save him from the deadly predicament and let him go, or let the murderous brigand perish in the mire. Well, number one, capture him. Decision is made. You have some clever tactics, and a swift bit of work allow you to free the man from the oozing mire. Once he's back on solid ground, covered from head to toe in muck, you take advantage of his exhausted state and capture him. Too wary to put up any meaningful resistance, the man resigns himself to his fate, which now rests in your hands. Your every thought is suddenly bent on things that haven't yet been, and may never come to pass. We've seen this before. 10 of 30, ascription. In a chamber of seven stars, before a gathering of his court, the Archmage of Calbrick presents you with an enchanted, gemming trusted amulet in recognition of your successful recovery of a magical staff that has long served his illustrious line. All of those gathered erupt in applause at the sounding of your name, and you catch sight of Elgar standing at the back of the crowd. The young, timid spellcaster, often the target of cruel humour of others, was your reluctant companion on the quest, and proved instrumental in the discovery and retrieval of the staff. Without Elagar's help at several critical junctures, you're certain the staff would never have been recovered. So, I could give Elagar the credit he deserves before the court, privately thank Elagar, or just... say nothing. Number one, give him the credit he deserves. Decision is made. The court is at first silent, but then erupts in applause as you properly credit Elagar with his invaluable role in the quest to retrieve the staff. The modest apprentice's eyes light up, and his face turns a brilliant shade of crimson as you present him with the gem-encrusted amulet you just received. Years from now, the Archmage Elagar of Calbrick will present the amulet to another young soul, timidly seeking their way in the world. Your every thought is subtly bent on things that have yet been, may never come to pass. Alright, on to the next one. The Way of the Wolf. Deep in a tangled half of a forest, you come upon a wolf caught in a hunter's snare. The creature snarls viciously as you approach, but quickly abandons its bravado and begins whimpering pitifully as it gnaws at the thick rope binding its back legs. Without your help, the wolf will surely die in the trap. However, As you look upon the wolf, a haunting premonition invades your thoughts. You vision yourself setting free the wolf, only to have the creature later attack and kill a pair of travellers in this very wood. So I can kill the wolf and end his misery, leave the wolf to die in the snare, or free the wolf from the snare. Well, alright, number one, kill the wolf! Decision is made. A swift, well-placed blow kills the wolf. The creature will no longer suffer in the merciless grip of the cruel snare, but may be suffering in wolf hell. I don't know, I'm not familiar with the theologies of wolves. Your every thought is suddenly bent on things that haven't yet been, and may never come to pass. Your head's, and on to the next one. 12. The Azure Orb. Having recovered the legendary Azure Orb from the ancient tomb of a sorcerer lord, you're on your way to present the healing artifact to the man who hired you to acquire it when foul weather forces you to spend the night in a ramshackle inn. The innkeeper, who suffers from a virulent strain of swamp rot, confides in you he's only a few months left to live, that he fears for the welfare of his wife and children after his passing. You realise immediately the magic contained in your Azure Orb could almost certainly rid him of this deadly affection. However, using the orb in this manner would likely render the artifact powerless, and thus worthless to the man who's already paid you handsomely for its recovery. So I can decide against using the orb, use the Azure Orb to try and cure the innkeeper, or provide the means necessary to look after his family. Alright, well, number one, decide against using the orb. You decide against using the orb and leave the inn the following morning. The man who hired you to recover the artifact is grateful to receive it and confides in you. He hopes to use its healing powers to cure an innkeeper friend of his of a particularly virulent strain of swamp rot. Well, that worked out. Your thoughts subtly twist into an incoherent web of grim, foreboding images. Seems like you get that when you do something selfish. Your head swims as your surroundings slowly come back into focus. The scene around you swiftly changes into a time, place and circumstance, confronts you with yet another thorny trilemma. The queening wagon. You look on in horror as a driverless wagon, laden with casks and drawn by a pair of spooked draft horses, careens through the crowded town square. Screams fill the air as people dash and dive out of the wagon's wild path as it hurtles towards the far side of the bustling quadrangle. Suddenly, you catch sight of a young boy and an elderly woman, a few feet apart from each other, frozen in terror as the out-of-control wagon bears down on them without a second thought. You sprint in their directions, realise you won't have enough time to try and save both of them. So I can attempt to rescue the child, attempt to rescue the old woman, or attempt to stop the wagon. Well, I'm rescuing the child. The decision is made. With little regard for your own safety, you rush into the road and snatch up the oblivious child, twisting at the last possible second to narrowly avoid the queening wagon. As you reach the far side of the road, you glance back just in time to see the out-of-control wagon miss the terrified woman by only a few feet. Your every thought is suddenly bent on things that haven't yet been and may never come to pass. Your head swims as your surroundings slowly come back into focus. The scene around you swiftly changes with time, place and circumstance. Yep, next one. Gravely wounded. You aid a ragged band of fellow adventurers as they track down and confront an ogre suspected of attacking travellers along a lonely stretch of road near the city of Pakwar. in ensuing melee. The beast kills nearly two of your party members before sustaining a grievous wound and taking flight in the thick of the forest. Unwilling to allow the ogre to escape, you and your companions split up and search the tangled wood. Not long after, you find the ogre taking shelter in a stone hollow. The fearsome creature was gravely wounded and near death. The ogre, lacking both the strength and the will to fight, pleads with you to mercifully end its life. So I can kill the ogre as he requested, alert your fellow searchers, or urge the ogre to make his escape. Okay, killing the ogre. The ogre draws back his broad, knotted shoulders and closes his eyes. A single death strike is all it takes to end the creature's life. As his bulky, lifeless body slumps to the ground, the sound of the approaching search party reaches your ears. Your thoughts suddenly turn to faces and voices lost in the dim, distant haze of the distant past. Lost in the dim haze of the distant past. Well, that haven't seen that very often. Next one, A Tale of Two Maps. A bout of friendly competition between you and a fellow adventurer has resulted in each of you acquiring a map. Beliefs show you the way to the resting place of a legendary magical shield. Well, I already have a legendary magical shield, so I don't need it. However, having stolen a peek at the rival's map, you discover it leads her to a place you previously explored, a cave filled with deadly terror. She's not likely to survive. Suggest you both use your map and share any spoils. Allow your wife to follow her map into peril. Reveal what you've discovered to your rival. Alright, number one, Citizen Maid. Your rival is taken aback by the sudden and honest revelation about her map. She agrees to your proposal. Thanks you for your generosity, and the two of you set off in search of the magical shield. This shared excursion proves to be the first of countless profitable adventures the two of you will tackle together over the years to come. Your every thought is subtly bent on things that haven't yet been and may never come to pass. Next scene, Underbelly Exposed. In Twindmoor, you uncover a shadowy confederacy, comprised of a handful of city officials and a trusted advisor to one of the kingdom's thanes. You discover the sinister cabal is working hand in hand with the Night Whisperers, a fearsome brotherhood of thieves based in Warzel. Now, there's a link for Night Whisperers. I'm only going to click that link for this reading of it, though. Night Whisperers. This fearsome brotherhood of thieves is thought to exist in many towns and cities across the North Broadlands. It has long been known that the city of Ravenleaf, in the Kingdom of Warsaw, to the east of Tysa, is the origin and base of operations for these vile organisations. The name Night Whisperers comes from the long-standing tradition where guild assassins whisper into the ears of their victims, either just before killing them or while they lie dying. The Night Whisperers is a highly secretive organisation. No member of the Brotherhood ever communicates or even knows anything about any higher station within the guild. At the highest stations within the guild, face-to-face meetings are rare, in most cases forbidden. Members of this elite tier communicate through a series of complex codes, sometimes written and other times less obvious. These codes and messages are either left where the intended recipient will discover them, or they are delivered by a liaison who knows nothing about the business being discussed. At one time, the organisation employed a band of highly skilled woodsmen and warriors known as the Blackguard. Black Art are considered the true muscle of the guild, and often called upon to combat the Brotherhood's enemies. Jiri Galoff, now better known by his moniker the Troll Hunter, was once the leader of the Black Art. The Night Whispers is a powerful and feared organization. Few are willing to speak openly against the group, lest they should suffer a grim reprisal for their insolence. Yep, so, bad guys. This web of corruption, deceit spun by the treacherous league, extends into nearly every corner of the city and appears to control most aspects of Twintmore's governance. So I could publicly expose the sinister Confederation, attempt to blackmail the Confederation, or seek to take part in the unscrupulous enterprise. Publicly expose. Your decision is made. Your bold decision to expose the Confederation leads to a great upheaval in Twintmore, during which even more members of the shadowy organization are revealed. Ultimately, the nefarious agents of the group will either killed or jailed, and the hold they have that they and their skulking allies had over the city is broken. In the months that follow the group's dissolution, you narrowly survive several attempts made on your life by would-be assassins. Yeah, I expected that would happen. Your every thought is subtly bent on things that haven't yet been and may never come to pass. Next one, a babbled prophecy. Near the quayside in Port Halleck, you're approached by a wacky beggar who's keen to ramble to you about an unsettling premonition he's had regarding the fate of a ship due to embark on a long voyage. You listen with growing suspicion to the beggar's outlandish account of his vision, which ends with the ship being dragged into the depths by a fearsome sea creature. Despite your instinct to disregard his wavings, the ship he's mentioned is presently docked at the far end of the quay. It'd be simple, although potentially humiliating, to relay the beggar's bizarre warning to the captain and the crew of the vessel in question. So offer to sell the beggar's vision to the captain, warn the captain about the beggar's vision, or decide against warning the captain. All right, selling it. Decision's made. You attempt to sell the details of the beggar's warning to the captain of the ship in question, but he flatly dismisses you. 2 days later, the ship heads to sea and is never seen again. Did the beast get it? Perhaps. Your thoughts suddenly twist into an incoherent web of grim, foreboding images. Next one, savagery and honour. Without a second thought, you charge to the aid of a small band of Leylandese knights, struggling to fend off a savage goblin horde that's nearly succeeded in overrunning the remote outpost. Your unexpected appearance in the midst of the melee hopes to turn the tide of battle. Many of the goblins flee into the forest, leaving behind their chain-clad chieftain and a handful of his elite kin. The chieftain, a fearless and deadly combatant, slays 3 knights with his stone axe as he fights to break their beleaguered line. Suddenly, you're presented with an opportunity to attack the chieftain from behind. You're certain that if you can remain undetected, you'll be able to fell the gruesome goblin with a single blow and shatter the resolve of his remaining warriors. So, I can decide against attacking him, honourably challenge him, or attack him from behind. Decide against attacking him. You look on, frozen in horror, as the goblin chieftain expertly wields his stone axe, savagely hewing through several more knights, to his last cut down by a single well-placed arrow. The remainder of the goblin's company shrieks and flees as their leader draws his last breath in a pool of his own blood. Your thoughts subtly twist into an incoherent web of grim, foreboding images. On to the next one. 19. A Goblin's Plea. Late one evening, on a desolate road east of Tantalus, you happen upon an encampment of soldiers transporting fugitives to a nearby outpost where they'll face justice for their crimes. As half a dozen soldiers mill around the fire, one of their prisoners, an elderly goblin who's bound to the back of one of the wagons, begs for you to set him free, telling you he's due to be hanged tomorrow. The goblin tells you he's been accused of robbing travellers on this very road, though he contends that he's never stolen anything from anyone. He hastily adds that his kin will starve in the wilds if he does not return to them. So, kill the goblin, leave him bound, or free the goblin. Kill the goblin yourself, because I really, really dislike goblins. A decision is made. Unwilling to set the goblin free, for equally opposed to having him endure the torturous wait for his own execution, you take the matters into your own hands and mercifully end his life. Now, what happens to his family? They presumably die. Oh well, we don't know. Your thoughts subtly twist into an incoherent web of grim, foreboding images. Next one. Don't let them catch me! While stepping out from beneath one of the grand arches leading into Twithick's Blade Square, you spot a pair of guardsmen swiftly pursuing a young boy. The nimble, fleet-footed lad dodges in and out of the midday fog that fills the quadrangle as his determined pursuers steadily fall behind. As the boy reaches the arch, he suddenly ducks behind you and pleads for you to keep him hidden. Moments later, the two guards appear out of the crowd and rush towards the arch, passing perilously close to their now concealed quarry. Right, I can hide the child and determine the reason for his trouble, reveal the child to the guard, hide the child, and then move on. Well, the first one. Decision's made. Once you keep the boy hidden as the guards pass. Once they've gone, you ask the lad why he's being chased, and only he's been stealing food to help feed his ailing father. You take it upon yourself to repay the merchants from which the food was taken, and then provide the boy with enough gold to feed his sickly father and to tend to the indisposed man's needs. Your every thought is suddenly bent on things that haven't yet been and may never come to pass. Next one. 21. A Fire Wages. At Mole's Nose Inn, a favourite hostel at the eastern end of Briar Pass Pike, is engulfed in flames. Rushing towards the inferno, your ears are greeted by the terrified whinnying of several horses trapped in the inn's attached table, which has just caught fire. You're about to wander the stable when a ghastly sound rises above the roar of the insatiable flames. Looking up, you spot several people trapped on the inn's second floor, screaming for you to help them escape. Getting any closer to the main building, all the stables could prove deadly. So I can attempt to rescue the horses from the stable, attempt to rescue the people from the inn, or decide against risking your life in the blaze. I'm rescuing the horses. Decision is made. You manage to free the horses from the stable. As the terrified beasts dash away from the fire, a loud groan of buckling wood, mingled with the screams of those still trapped within the inn, rises into the air as the structure's upper level collapses into the first. A brave young woman, whose heroic deeds would have one day spared the kingdom an epoch of torment, perishes while trapped in the inn cellar. Your thoughts suddenly turn to faces and voices lost in the dim haze of the distant past. Your head swims, and next one. 22 without hesitation. You and three of your closest adventuring companions accept the lucrative task of guarding a merchant caravan as it winds its way through the rugged foothills of the southern Fedorin range. Near the remains of a long abandoned outpost, the train of wagons is ambushed by a savage band of mountain goblins. A powerful shaman leads the fierce horde and launches a deadly flame attack that swiftly engulfs the wagons, killing many of the passengers outright and trapping the others inside a pair of burning coaches. Having narrowly escaped from one of the wagons, you're suddenly faced with a grim decision. To your left, the desperate cries of your companions ring out from within a fire-engulfed wagon. To your right, inside the blazing remains of a hefty coach, the terrified squeaks of a group of people unknown to you rise above the roar of the flames. There isn't enough time to save both groups. So, I can rush to the aid of the unknown passengers, hurry away from the blazing wreckage, rush to the aid of my companions. Well, first one, unknown passengers. Decision is made. You manage to free the trapped passengers scant moments before the billowing inferno consumes the twisted wreckage. Working furiously, you and four of the people you pulled from the burning wagons managed to rescue your companions. Oh, everything turned out all right. Your every thought is subtly bent on things that haven't yet been and may never come to pass. And next one. Dragon Hunted. A trio of experienced dragon hunters arrive in town early one morning, seeking to locate the hidden lair of a dragon that's responsible for a deadly attack on the wagon caravan. As you listen to the men describe the gruesome incident, your heart skips a beat. You met and befriended the very dragon they were talking about only a few days ago, when the ancient creature swooped in to defend you from a forest troll ambush. After devouring the trolls, the dragon invited you to his cleverly concealed cave, and the two of you enjoyed a lengthy and insightful conversation. Aware of your reputation as an adventurer, the adventurers ask you if you've heard anything. Any about the dragon taking up residence anywhere in the nearby forest? So I can say nothing. I can join the dragon hunters on their hunt, or betray the location of the dragon's lair. I'm going to say nothing, because that's the first option. Decision is made. You say nothing about your encounter with the dragon, leaving the hunters to search for the lair on their own. Days later, the hunters stumble upon the dragon's empty cave. The dragon, whose sudden friendship forever altered its opinion of humanity, never again afflicts the realm of man. Your every thought is suddenly bent on things that haven't yet been and may never come to pass. Next one, 24, unworthy of life. A chance encounter with a mysterious woman in Mugsbull leads to us making a strange and unsettling request.
Tells you that she has been tasked with killing a man whose countless crimes are too vile to describe. He is a veritable beast in the guise of a man, she says. He's utterly unworthy of life, and a danger to all who have the misfortune of making his acquaintance. She tells you the man spends most of his time drunk at the Blue Barrel Ale House, and offers to pay you handsomely if you succeed in slipping a few drops of deadly poison into his ale. So I could accept the task and poison the unsuspecting man, refuse the task, or inform the man of the sinister plot against him. Well, I'm accepting the task because it's the first option. Decision made. The task proves simpler than you expected. After arriving at their house and furtively observing your mark, you stealthily slip a few drops of the deadly toxin into his ale. Within just a few minutes, the man collapses into a weaving heap on the floor and expires. The mysterious woman later meets you in a nearby alley to admit to you the pay you were promised. Your thoughts suddenly twist into an incoherent web of grim, foreboding images. Next one. 25. Time grows short. A powerful blizzard sweeps across the vast region of Eastern Tysa, burying the kingdom as its ravaging winds and bitter chill exacts a deadly toll. While sheltering in a mountain village, you learn that several inhabitants of a nearby settlement have gone missing in the wilderness. Unless they are found quickly, they will surely perish. As you search for the lost people is about to get underway. With you leading the effort, there emerge two imposing notions regarding their likely whereabouts. An eccentric sorcerer who dwells on the outskirts of the village claims that with the help of his magic, he's determined the missing people have taken refuge in the ruins of an old fort in the rugged foothills. His assertion is immediately disputed by a grizzled, well-respected woodsman who believes it's most likely that the seven villagers are trapped in a deep valley at the foot of the mountain. So I can trust the grizzled woodsman, put forth your own theory regarding their whereabouts, or trust the eccentric sorcerer. Well, woodsman, because the woodsman's murdered first. Decision is made. Yeah. Placing your trust in what the old woodsman said, you lead the search party into a snow-bound vale at the foot of the mountain. After thoroughly scouring the valley turns up no sign of the lost villagers, the missing people were discovered sheltering in the ruins of an old fort in the foothills. Only with a heroic effort are you able to effect a rescue that safely returns each and every one of them to their homes. Your thoughts subtly turn to faces and voices lost in the dim haze of the distant past. Next one. 26. Who has to know? In the depths of a sprawling Adhvari tomb, you and your companions at last discover the chest, which you hope contains a magical scroll you previously whisked, for which you've repeatedly whisked life and limb. While your cohorts guard the chamber entrances, lest any of the tomb's undead guardians should reappear, you turn your attention to the chest. After determining that the chest is neither locked nor trapped, you tip back its weighty lid and discover that it contains not only the magical scroll you hope to find, but also two other extremely valuable scrolls. Your companions haven't yet seen what you found in the chest. So I can keep all three scrolls for myself, share all three scrolls with your companions, or secretly keep the extra two scrolls for myself. Keep all three for myself, because that's the first one. After furtively stashing all three scrolls in amongst your possessions, tell your companions that the chest is empty. Both of your cohorts make a thorough examination of the chest, seemingly in disbelief at the disappointing outcome of a long and dangerous quest. Your thoughts subtly twist into an incoherent web of grim foreboding images. On to the next one. No Bretta Brew. The burly innkeeper, nearly breathless after spending his last several minutes extolling the virtues of what he boastfully referred to as his best ever autumn brew, sets down before you a tall, frothing tankard. A dozen patrons, their curiosity piqued by the landlord's colourful description of the ale's unique and remarkable properties, crowd in around the table in which you're seated, eager to see if your opinion of the drink will match that of its exuberant brewer. You hesitate for just a moment, glancing up at the faces leering down at you, before taking a long, slow sip. Putrid. It's all you can do to keep from gagging and forcefully expelling the foul liquid from your mouth. Indeed, you're inclined to believe the water from a whole horse's trough would be more palatable. So I could lie and shower his ale with glowing praise, give him your honest and poor opinion of the ale, or decline to provide him with opinion. Shower the ale with his glowing praise. Your dishonest praise from the ale licks a scowl from the innkeeper. You learn the ale you've just tasted is the brew from a rival inn. And your assessment has confirmed the innkeeper's fears that his ale is inferior. Oh, poor guy. Your thoughts suddenly twist into an incoherent web of grim foreboding images. And the next one. 28, evening the odds. In a one-down quadrangle in Twithick's northern section, you happen upon a grim scene. Three men, wielding cudgels, are seemingly making sport of an unarmed man. Those bloodied face betrays the brutal treatment he's received. One of the assailants, the largest of the trio, steps forward and raises his weapon as the armed man attempts to position himself to block the imminent blow. So, do nothing, toss the unarmed man a weapon, or step in and defend the unarmed man. Do nothing! Your decision is made. You stand back and watch the grim scene unfold. In less than a minute, the unarmed man is overwhelmed and struck down by his foes. His three assailants, no doubt, fearing the arrival of the city guard, flee along the lane, leaving the battered man to expire before a gathered throng of onlookers. Bugger. Your thoughts suddenly twist into an incoherent web of grim, foreboding images. And next one, the penultimate, Pay the Dragon. Hired to deliver a tribute of gold and jewels to the ancient stone dragon, whose foul shadow has long loomed over the Felidonese mining town of Junbrek. You make your way to the creature's lair, high in the craggy foothills. Junbrek's mining council, its governing body, has made it plain that they wish to pay the dragon the tribute it demands and not risk angering the mighty creature. Upon entering the dragon's cave, you discover the beast deep in slumber. Despite the danger involved, you're all but certain you could slay the sleeping dragon with relative ease, if you so desired. So you can make the tribute as directed, attempt to negotiate the dragon's departure, or attempt to kill the sleeping dragon. Nope, make the tribute as directed, because that's the first option. Decision is made. You leave the tribute payment with the sleeping dragon, who thankfully doesn't wake up, and quickly leave the beast's lair. Unbeknownst to you, several of the larger gems, including the heap of golden jewels, are laced with a magically imbued toxin that's extremely deadly to dragons. Within a few days of the delivery of the payment, the ancient stone dragon is no more. Your every thought is suddenly bent on things that haven't yet been and may never come to pass. And the final one, lessons learned. The young lad, whose nimble fingers nearly succeeded in relieving you of your coin purse, squirms and curses at you as you tighten your grip on his wrist. Two guardsmen, having apparently witnessed the thwarted acts of thievery, rush over to take custody of the child. As the guards turn to leave with the crestfallen pickpocket in their charge, the young boy flashes you a pleading look and silently mouths what you believe is an apology. So I can ask the guards to let the lad go, ask the guards to release the boy into your custody, or allow the guards to haul off the young thief. Oh, let the boy go. Decision made. The guards consider your request and ultimately decide to allow the child to go free, after providing him with a stern lecture. years from now an infamous master thief. We'll fondly look back on the day, time. He nearly picked the pocket of the great and noble Sir Croakington. Your thoughts suddenly turn to faces and voices lost in the dim haze of the distant past. Your head swims as surroundings come back into focus, and you find yourself standing on a slab of grey stone, floating in the mist of a black void. A faceless woman, garbed in a blue tunic, her features hidden behind a smooth sheet of taut grey skin, bows deeply. "Are you satisfied with your decisions?" she asks, with only a slight movement of the skin in a place where her mouth should be. "If you have any doubts, you would be wise to give voice to them now. I could send you back to make them all again, if you desire. It is all about what you desire, is it not? So I can say I'm satisfied with the set of choices, or ask to make another set of choices. I'm making another set." The faceless woman nods. "Now be it so, you need only state your desire. If you're certain, state your desire to make another set of choices." The faceless woman nods and swiftly vanishes. Your thoughts become a tangled, maddening web as the scene around you, Okay, anyway, now we're back to it. Now we are back to where we were. Anyway, but that will be for next week. But until then, farewell, fellow adventurers.
It is Ryan Seacrest here. There was a recent social media trend which consisted of flying on a plane with no music, no movies, no entertainment. But a better trend would be going to ChumbaCasino.com. It's like having a mini social casino in your pocket. Chumba Casino has over 100 online casino-style games, all absolutely free. It's the most fun you can have online and on a plane. So grab your free welcome bonus now at ChumbaCasino.com. Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Save big on your Thanksgiving feast. All in the Kroger app. Get 3-pound packs of juicy Kroger red, green, or black seedless grapes for $3.99 with your card and a digital coupon. Then get 1-pound packs of flavorful Private Selection 80% Lean Angus ground chuck for $4.99 each with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.